Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we would, Lord, ask your help as we take a look at a very unique man, Lord, and especially in one regard, Lord, you've chosen to, in a small way, set this man apart from any other person in the Bible. I pray that that would grip our attention tonight. Help us, Lord, to want to be people who are full of faith. Lord, increase our faith, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. So, several weeks ago now, I gave an introductory message on a Sunday night on the subject of faith. We're going to continue to preach on faith from time to time on Sunday nights. As we go through the fruits of the Spirit, I told you in all of the other fruits, I'll probably just bring one message. But when it comes to the subject of faith, my goodness sakes, there's so much in the Bible about it. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking to you about this important fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of faith. Now, I mentioned in my prayer that Stephen is unique in this one regard. Twice in this portion of Scripture, we are told that Stephen was a man, here's the phrase, full of faith. Now, if you were to look up that little phrase, you'll find that it only appears twice in the Bible. Both of them in the text we just read, and both of them describing this man, Stephen. I want you to stop and let yourself absorb that for a minute. Wouldn't it be an awesome thing for God to record this truth about you, that you were a man that was full of faith? Or you were a woman who was full of faith. I believe that there are varying degrees of faith. We may go back and study this at some point. Jesus, when talking about faith, sometimes rebuked the disciples for having no faith. Other times he chastised them or chided them for being of little faith. He also bragged on some people for having great faith. But only Stephen, of all of the people in the Bible, I'm not saying that others were not men or women that were full of faith, but God chose in the Word of God to leave this one distinction, this one description, just for this man, Stephen. I want to point out some things to you about Stephen in introduction that I think is interesting. Of all of the people in the Bible, only Stephen is called a man full of faith. Now let me point out some things. Number one, he was a layman. You think if God was going to take one person and use this phrase, Brother Simpson, you think he'd use a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary? You know what? I hope that's a great encouragement to you. Can I say this? Some of the greatest men and women of faith have never preached a message, are not in full-time Christian work, have never been called into the ministry as far as full-time, have never received a paycheck from a church. They have simply just come and faithfully sat in the services, faithfully given, faithfully served. And I think it's interesting that this description was reserved for a man who was a layman. You know what, folks? It takes great faith to be the right kind of a layman in the local assembly. It takes great faith. It takes a strong faith if you're going to be what you ought to be for the local assembly. Number two, Stephen was a deacon. A deacon, on top of being a layman, he was a deacon. And let me say this, this is one of the requirements that's laid out in the Scriptures, one of the things that are mentioned concerning an important attribute of a deacon. I want to say this, and folks, we're spoiled around here. We really are. But you just can't believe how Satan has used deacons in many, many churches to limit what God could do in that church, to shackle what a preacher is trying to accomplish. It's important that deacons be men of great faith, a great faith. I mean, Pastor Ross has done it over the years. I've done it over the years where I've walked into a deacon's meeting, having prayed, having fasted, having looked at something that was huge that I believe God wanted us to accomplish here. And how refreshing is it to walk into men, to a group of men, who aren't standing there with their arms folded and a sour look on their face, ready to immediately talk about how we can't accomplish whatever the Lord's laid on the pastor's heart to accomplish. Some deacons feel like it's their full-time job to say, no, 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 can't do it, no way, we just can't do that. You know what? They have no faith, and they certainly are not full of faith. There's been times when, for instance, when we took on the project of building this building, by the way, that has been such a blessing to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That building has allowed us to be able to divide Sunday school rooms, to be able to run buses in a different manner, increase our bus ministry, increase the number of children we can handle. And by the way, because of that, we're increasing the number of young people we're seeing saved on a regular basis. And a lot of that came as a result of some men that sat in a room when I first brought to them the burden that God had laid on my heart. Listen, let me say this. No preacher in the world in his right mind wants to go into a building program. Whether you believe that or not, no preacher wants to. If a pastor comes in and says, listen, God has stirred me and we need to build, it's not that he hasn't resisted that stirring, because there's a lot of these gray hairs, building project right there. And I say, preacher, are we going to need to build sometime down the road? Probably. Do you want to? No, I'm praying for the rapture to happen before we ever have to build another building. I mean that with all of my heart. But thank God when I presented this. And thank God when I said, men, here's the best of my ability. Here's the plan. Here's the way I feel like that we can do it. But bottom line is, it's going to be a step of faith to have veteran deacons look at a preacher and say, pastor, if you've prayed about this, we also sense the need of this. And preacher, we've never seen our way clear to be able to build anything around here. We've always just stepped out by faith. And if you've prayed about this and this is what you think we ought to do, we will step out with you in faith. Listen, folks, if you can't do the work of God by sight, it has to be accomplished by faith. It has to be accomplished by faith. And thank God for men that are full of faith. He was a layman. He was a deacon. And I think most of you know this, and we won't probably spend a lot of time on this, but Stephen was also the first martyr that we read about in the book of Acts. A layman, a deacon, and a martyr, and a man of all of the men in the Bible that God gave this unique distinction, a man full of faith. Now, remember that as we study these scriptures and as we take a look tonight at the life of Stephen, because in our attempt to educate ourselves upon what the scripture says on this matter of faith, I think this is unique enough for us to put this one man under the microscope. Why, preacher, of all of the men in the Bible that God could have said was men full of faith, why is that distinction? Why was it left to Stephen? Well, I'm going to give you several things. Some of these things are true of other men, but I'm not sure that all of these things are true of any man except Stephen. So pay attention to me, and let's see if the Lord will teach us some things about faith tonight. All right? Number one, a man full of faith, first of all, a man full of faith is driven to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. A man full of faith is driven to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, in verse number 3, The suggestion, the ideal was floated. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we made appoint over this business. And then in verse number 5, and the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. So they were assigned to look for men that were filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And the first one that they chose, I think this man stood out. By the way, did you notice that? And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. It doesn't list all of them and say they were full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. It said specifically of Stephen that he was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me just remind you real quickly. We won't do an in-depth study on it. I've talked a lot about it this year. But what does it mean to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? What does it mean to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God? Listen, would to God we as Christians would once again get hungry to be filled with the Spirit of God. You see, folks, if you're a man of faith, then you believe some things. You believe that when you were saved, God allowed the Holy Spirit of God to come inside of you and take up residence. You believe that by faith. If you're a man of faith, then you want to experience a relationship with this member of the triune God. You don't want him just to be a resident. You want him to be the president. You don't want him to simply be there as a someone who occupies your life. You want them to, the Holy Spirit to be there to control your life and to lead you in all areas of your life. Listen, Stephen got hungry to be filled with the Spirit of God. It was important to Stephen to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, folks, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, how is that achieved? Well, I have always said this. You can't fill a vessel with anything if it's already filled with something else. And the first two things that are required is that you have to empty yourself of self, and you have to empty yourself of sin. You have to empty yourself of self, and you have to empty yourself of sin. I'm watching a handful of folks here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know what? You have such incredibly great potential. And I mean that. God wants to use you in such a wonderful way. But self is in the way. Self is in the way. You'll never in your life experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because you simply won't die to self. You are more important to you than the work of God. You are more important to you than most anything else that happens. Until you empty yourself of self, and until you die to self, you'll never experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Newsflash, church, it's not about you and it's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. When you insist on making it about you, you know what you're saying to everybody? I'm not full of the Spirit of God. I'm full of me. And I'm not interested in the attention being focused on the work of God or Christ, or I want the attention to be focused on me and what I want. Listen, folks, and then we have other Christians that are filled with sin. You cannot be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Preacher, why are you against so many things? I'll tell you why I'm against so many things, because they prevent Christians from being filled with the Spirit of God. That's why. The fullness of the Spirit produces, because of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, Stephen's life produced the fruits of the Spirit. Because of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, there was a fullness of power in verse number 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, full of faith and power. And interesting, all of the things that Stephen was filled with, simply because he was filled with faith and filled with the Spirit of God. We say also he was filled with wisdom. We see he was filled with power. So many things come upon the life of a Christian when they say, I'm just going to empty myself of self. I'm going to empty myself of my pride. I'm going to empty myself of sin. And I am going to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. John the Beloved, back in the epistles of John, called the fullness of the Spirit. He uses a unique word. He calls it the unction. The unction. If you look at that word unction and you seek out the Greek root word, it's the word charisma or anointing. Listen, what is the fullness of the Spirit, Brother Jerry? What is it to have the unction? It is a divine element that anoints all of your human witnessing and all of your human service for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the spiritual Midas touch upon your life that allows you to have impact that other people just never will have and never do have. I'm not saying that a carnal Christian, a selfish Christian, can't have some impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing who God will use. He loves sinners enough that it's amazing how God will use even some of us that are just a mess. But you'll never know that anointing. You'll never know the fullness of power. You'll never know the influence you could have until you seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, folks, this matter of faith causes us to put faith in the fact that we are indwelt by the Spirit, and to put faith in the fact that we should seek the Holy Spirit of God. A man, number one, full of faith, is driven to seek the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Number two, a man full of faith pursues the wisdom of God for his life. I want to say a few things about wisdom. A man full of faith pursues the wisdom of God for his life. Remember what it said there when it talked about Stephen. It said he was a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost. Later on it says he was a man full of wisdom, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom in verse number 3. Now, let me just give you this. Your faith, if your faith is going to grow and your faith is going to be all that it needs, let me make this statement. Faith needs wisdom. Faith needs wisdom, and wisdom needs faith. Faith needs wisdom, and wisdom needs faith. See, faith is the ability and the willingness to step out and follow God in whatever He'd have you to do. But you know what? If you have faith to do that, but you don't have the wisdom of God to know what to do once you stepped out there, you're going to make a mess of yourself. I was reading a letter from Brother David Townsley, who's planning the church that we're supporting over there in Connecticut. And I've been very impressed in watching a young man who, number one, is willing to step out by faith to do what he has been called to do, but number two, has been willing to listen and glean wisdom from men who have planted churches. I've been amazed at how organized his efforts are, how focused his efforts are, how pointed his goals are, and how effective he's been. Listen, it's great to have faith, but do you have the wisdom you need to accompany that faith so that you're not just following, stepping out and saying, I'll do it, but then you realize that as soon as you do that, you need to once again hit your knees and say, God, I've stepped out and said I'll do it. Now I need the anointing of your wisdom to know how to do it, and I need the wisdom of God. I've met many a young man who planned on doing great things for God but did not know how to plan on doing great things for God. I've met many a young man who planned on doing great things for God but did not know how to plan on doing great things for God. Now, here's what I'd encourage you to do. And I'm not talking about just preachers tonight. I'm talking about laymen. Stephen was a man that was full of the faith, yet he was a layman. Listen, get an extraordinary vision for your life, then pursue it with extraordinary wisdom from God. Get an extraordinary vision for your life, then pursue it with extraordinary wisdom from God. Now, I'm gonna challenge you as laymen in all of the different areas that we serve here, in all of the different areas that you are involved in ministry at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I would to God, God would give you an extraordinary vision for where God's called you to serve in this church. But let me say this, you'll never accomplish an extraordinary vision without extraordinary wisdom. And you're never going to have extraordinary wisdom without seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God. A byproduct of faith is a wisdom. A byproduct of the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God is to have the wisdom to seek out more wisdom, divine wisdom from God. So here we see this man full of faith pursuing the wisdom of God for his life. Number three, here's just some things on Stephen, this man full of faith. A man full of faith delights in any opportunity to serve in the assembly. A man full of faith, full of the Holy Ghost, full of wisdom, delights in any opportunity to serve in the assembly. Now, you would think with this man's credentials, folks, everything they've said about him, this is a pretty amazing Christian man. And yet they approach this man and with a very, what some people might call a very meager, very lowly task. But Stephen didn't see it that way. Can you imagine being this man that is full of wisdom and has sought the fullness of the Holy Spirit and is a man full of power and a man that obviously had a heart to serve God? And they approach this man and they say, the apostles need your help in something. What they need is that we have some widows that are being neglected in the daily administration. Their daily needs are not being met. So what we need you to do is to take your Holy Spirit-filled life and the wisdom of God upon your life and the power of God upon your life, and we need you to get some groceries to some widow ladies. And you know what this man said? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. He ran home and said, honey, you're not going to believe what they're going to let me do at church. I get to have a position at church. Well, did they give you a title? Yeah, here's the title, servant. That's what I've always wanted to do. That's what I've always wanted to be, and they're going to let me be it. Well, what are we going to do exactly? You're not going to believe this. We get to go to Angels, and we get to get a grocery cart, and we get to go and pick up some groceries, and then we get to take our own fuel, and we need to drive over with our own vehicle and deliver groceries to widows, and the daily administration. So we get to do it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. We get to do it all the time. Amen. And thank God he had a godly wife that began to weep and cry and said, "Is that a blessing? God's going to use us." Why did they choose us? Well, some of the preachers have been doing it, but you know what? They need to study the Bible, and they need to disciple new converts, and they need to pray, and they're not able to do that. Well, that means if we do this, then they can do that. Yes. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Now, folks, this is what it means to be full of faith. Full of faith. Stephen was chosen to be a deacon, chosen because he was qualified, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, common sense, and charisma to oversee this business. But his great capacity for faith and his humility made him a great asset to the local assembly. You see, there's some unique things about this man. Folks, you can talk about your faith, but you know what? Is it really faith or is it just pride? Is it really faith or is it just desire for the spotlight? Is it really faith or is it, I'll serve here but I ain't serving there? What is it really? You see, his great capacity for faith made him an asset to the local church. Let me tell you the people that are an asset to the local church. Number one, sub-points under this. Stephen, he possessed a servant's heart. All he wanted to do was just be a servant. Just what do you need, preacher? Just what do you need? Where do you want to plug me in at? Okay, good. Praise God. Thank you so much. I get an opportunity to serve. I don't care. Just give me something to do. Just let me do something, please. He did not suffer. Watch this. Boy, listen to this. He did not suffer from apostle envy. He did not suffer from apostle envy. Layman, you need to listen to me. Here's too much the attitude. Well, what do they want us to do again? They want us to take food to the widows. Well, who was doing it before? Well, the preacher was. Well, what, is he too good? Why does he want us to do it? Well, you don't understand. He needs to study the Bible. He needs to read the Bible. He needs to pray. Well, we need to study the Bible to pray too. What, does he think he's better than us? Please look up here and please listen to me. And you know what? As God is my witness, what I'm going to say is 100% true, and it's of a pure heart, and if you don't get it, you're going to struggle all your life. But my position in this church is not the same as your position in this church. My responsibilities in this church is not the same as your responsibilities in this church. That doesn't make me better. It just makes me called to do what I'm supposed to do. And that's just the way it is. There's too many laymen that are so worried about whether or not the preacher shows up at everything. Is the preacher going to be involved in it? If the preacher doesn't show up, why should I show up? I'll tell you why. Because you're not the preacher. There's way too many church members that are suffering from apostle envy or preacher envy. You know what? They want all of the perks and all of the respect and all of the accolades and all of the following of a preacher. They just don't want any of the sacrifices that are involved in it. And so, you know what? If you're called to preach, hey, I'll help you out after the service. Come meet with me. We'll get you sent off to a good Bible college, and you can get trained, and then you can go out, and you can pastor somewhere. But if you're not, you're a layman, then you need to understand there's a difference between a layman and someone who's pastoring the church. Now, if you have a humility about you, then you will be willing to carry out the simplest of tasks. There won't be this sense of entitlement that comes from pride. There'll be a willingness just to say, Pastor, where do you want me? Where do you need me? Where would you like me to serve? What would you like me to do? Let me say this, folks. Of all of the folks in this church, I am best qualified to know what the needs are and where you would be best suited. I am the most qualified for that. That's one of the things God's called me to do as overseer of this church. Now, do you possess the humility to do something that maybe wouldn't have been your first choice? Do you possess the humility to say, hey, I'll take some groceries to somebody. I'll go pick up trash out of the ditch if that's what needs. I'll show up and mow the grass. Some of you are already so important at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm not talking about people physically can. I'm talking about some of you are already so important in your name or in your mind that you can't sign up on a lawn care list and show up and run a weed eater. Bless your heart. But I'm telling you, you're not full of faith, you're not full of the Holy Spirit, and you lack a humility. You lack a humility. Well, I'd serve in the church, but this is, if I could do this, and if I could do that, and if I could do it this way, and if I can't, then I won't. Well, you're going to sit there on the shelf for the rest of your life and not be used a whole lot for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You need to develop a servant's heart. See, when your faith grows, when you become a man or a woman full of faith, you'll delight in any opportunity to serve in the local assembly. You won't get put upon yourself the trappings of pride. You won't be worried about whether or not you are serving in the spotlight. Listen, he asked only, I love this in verse 6, the only thing that he asked of the apostles was a chance to serve in their prayers and their blessings. In verse 6, they laid hands upon him and prayed and asked God to give him wisdom as he carried out this task of taking care of the widows. Listen, watch this. Say, preacher, why is this important? Why are you spending time on this? Verse 7. Don't miss verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. You see, Stephen was a man full of faith. And let me tell you how you identify that in a person. They care about the end result of the church being successful. Bottom line. Bottom line, they want the Sunday school to be successful. They want the master's clubs to be successful. They want the church service to be successful. They want souls saved. They want the children's programs to be. They want the disciples increased and multiply. They want the church to grow. Preacher, wherever you can plug me in that'll help make that happen, you tell me, I'll show up. Teach me what I need to do. Pray for me and ask God to help me have wisdom to do it. And I will do it to the best of my ability for the betterment of the whole. That's what's important and ought to be important at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Folks, there's too many position seekers. There's too many people say, I'll serve as long as I, and you got your little hostage list. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say, die to self, grow up, get the sin out of your life, get the pride out of your life, come back when you're usable. Because you don't have a clue in what it is to serve the Lord. You see, it's easy to say I want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to succeed, but too many people want it to succeed as long as the pastor follows their plan for success. I'm not following your plan. I'm following God's plan. I'm not following your plan. I'm following the Bible plan. Okay, so if you can come with a humble heart and say, preacher, I'll do whatever. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'll do whatever. Too many laymen claiming to be called. Now, I'll just park right here a minute. I just want some of you to get a little nervous right now. This is how we defend our pride. Well, I'm just called to that. I'm just called to this. I'm just called to that. Please show me that in the Bible. I can show you a call to preach. And that's all you'll find. You know what you're called to do as a layman? You're called to come alongside your pastor and say, what do we need to do to get this thing working and running and popping and working? Okay? Listen, folks. Listen to what your preacher said. It's easy to talk about your faith, but you know what? Pretty soon, what really is in your heart is going to come out. They said, yeah, Stephen just came. He was so excited. Can you see him coming home? You're not going to believe what we get to do. Man alive, they gave me a position. What is it? Servant. Well, we get to take groceries. What a blessing that is. This is going to help the ministry. This is going to help the pastor. This is going to free him up. This is going to allow him to pray and disciple new converts and prepare messages. Man, we get to be a part of that. Because the honest truth is, folks, listen to me. Every single one of you that are doing what some people, I don't look at it this way, what some people might think is menial tasks, every single one of you that are doing something that means I don't have to do it, has a part in every soul that walks the aisle in response to a message that I preach, because you gave me the time to prepare the message. You gave me the time to pray. We've got to get off of this what I call apostle envy that's crept into our independent fundamental Baptist churches. We've got to decide that, you know what? What I need to do is find the church that God wants me to attend, go to the pastor of that church and say, "Pastor is the overseer. You know what? You pray about it. You plug me in. I don't care if it's cleaning toilets. I don't care if it's raking gravel in the parking lot. I don't care if it's making visits. I don't care what it is. Just give me something to do. Let me plug in. Let me be a part. And you know what? I'll trust God's leading in your life to plug me in where I need to be in this ministry." Number four, Stephen was also a man full of faith. And a man full of faith vocalizes his faith in the community. And by the way, I love this little portion of scripture here. In verse number 8 it says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Syrians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Sicily and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they," watch this, "they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake." I love that little phrase there. You know what? He was a man full of faith. He was willing to go into the community and vocalize his faith. He was a soul winner. He was an old-fashioned door knocker. He knew what it was to just wear out leather in his shoes. Just go out there and just knock on doors and just tell people about Jesus and try to recruit folks into the assembly and share his testimony. And because of that, like I said this morning, you get into that business and you're going to make somebody mad. And there's a bunch of religious people, lost but religious people, that took exception to what he was able to do. But I love this. Because he was a man full of faith, because he was a man full of the Holy Spirit, they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Now, folks, I've already talked about wisdom, but could I just expound upon that little phrase, "and the spirit by which he spake"? You say, well, that's Holy Spirit fullness. That's not capitalized. That word spirit there is a small s. That spirit literally means, in this portion of scripture, the wisdom and the passion by which he spake. Well, look, let me have your attention. Let me really help some of you. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, there is that unction, there is that charisma, there is that anointing that comes. And when you witness, there is a power in your witnessing. There is a passion in your service. There is a passion when you talk to people about Christ. I'd be ashamed of myself if I got up to preach the Word of God and didn't have some fire in my belly about it, that I wasn't passionate about what I have to say. And I'd be ashamed if I stood in front of a Sunday school class. What a great privilege at Blessed Hope Baptist Church to be a Sunday school teacher. Listen, folks, they ought not to be able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which you speak. Listen, it's just not a matter of being wise and getting the wisdom of God and getting the lesson plan. There ought to be a passion about your delivery, a passion about what, preacher, I got a different personality. I understand that. God's made us with all kinds of different personalities, but I've seen quiet people passionate. Doesn't mean that you got to scream and holler and kick over microphones and do, who's the crazy evangelist, the youth evangelist that does the cartwheels? Who is that guy? Randy who? Dingham? The guy, I don't know, how many young people have seen him preach and seen him do a cartwheel during a message? I preached one time with that crazy man. He preached before I did a couple cartwheels during his sermon. I got up to preach after him and said, "Folks, let me tell you something. The only cartwheels that will be done by a preacher has already been done tonight." Amen. I'm not throwing stones at him. If that's what he wants to do, that's what he wants. I'm not saying everybody's got to be the same. What I am saying is shame on me if I don't have as much passion. Now, folks, listen to me. Man, this is life or death stuff. This isn't some sorority. This isn't the Elks Club. I don't know what you think it is. This is the Church of Jesus Christ. It's the Church of Jesus Christ. Master's Clubs, we're getting ready to start. You know what we need? We need people to go down there in front of those young people and deliver the goods with a passion. A passion for what God has laid upon your heart. A passion for the Bible truths that you're going to teach. A passion for the ministry that God's given you to do. We've got to stop sleepwalking around here through our service to Jesus Christ. Now, part of what comes with being full of faith is that you're not only just full of faith, folks, but with that comes the wisdom of God, a desire to seek out wisdom. With that comes the spirit, the right spirit in which you do your service, the passion of this. Listen, because he had great wisdom and great passion, he had a great impact. Because of this also, he attracted great persecution. One of the things that I've noticed in my whole life is you show me a passionate Christian, and I'll show you that he always attracts people that want to come to him and tell him he needs to simmer down. It's like moths to a light. I promise you it's true. Nothing seems to bother a certain percentage of the assembly than somebody getting excited about what they're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why it bothers you? Because you're a deadbeat. Because you hardly got a spiritual pulse. Because if you are serving the Lord, you want to just yawn your way through it. That is not how you're supposed to serve God. Thank God for the people around here that's on fire for God. Thank God for the folks that have been doing it for 20, 30, 40 years, and they still have a fire burning inside of them. It's still serious to them. My night to be in the nursery. Oh. Walk in there, slam the door. I'll tell you one thing. I'm not going to be on this side. I want to be on that side. You need to be in the nursery. No, you need to be in the nursery. Well, I served for a while, but I didn't like this was done, so I'm just not going to do it. What? Are you getting this? What I'm saying, folks, is listen to me. We've got to get back to having the right heart and the passion for serving the Lord. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Listen, his desire to win the lost possessed no guile. He was pure in his motives and pure in his efforts. Verse number 15, when they attacked him and brought in false accusers and lied about him and made all these crazy accusations and dragged him in front of the council. I love verse 15. And all that sat in the council looked steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You know what? He's just out there preaching and winning people to Christ, and God's using him in a powerful way, and people are trying to argue and throw cold water on his fire and say he's doing wrong and accusing him, and he's just looking around still trying to do it. And finally they set him down and make him answer all these false accusations. He just got this big dumb smile on his face looking around like, man, it's just good to be here today. You know, they think he's on trial. He thinks he's at a revival meeting. They think that they are judges. He thinks they're his congregation. He thinks God's opened an effectual door. He gets a chance to preach to these knuckleheads. He's not worried about it. He's already planning in his mind how the scriptural presentation that he's going to put on these guys that will hopefully turn them to a realization that Jesus was the Messiah, that they slew the Messiah. But you know what? That Christ let him do that because he was to be the sacrifice, supreme sacrifice for sin. I like this man of faith. He just goes out and he vocalizes his faith in the community. He does it with great passion. He does it with great wisdom. He possesses no guile. He's not trying to climb a ladder. He's not trying to get an attention. He's not trying to be noticed by somebody or put on in a different position. He just wants to go out there and win people to Jesus Christ. He does it purely and he does it sincerely. Let me give you number five, a man full of faith. I won't read all the scriptures. It'll be quick. A man full of faith derives this faith from an intimate knowledge of the scriptures. And the entire sermon, that if you read it, chapter 7, this is what the high priest got to say. 1, 2, 3, 4 words. Are these things so? Verse 1, chapter 7, verse 1. And you know what? Last thing he got out of his mouth, Stephen just took off into a sermon. And you know what? Something tells me he didn't have sermon notes in front of him. I'm not even sure he had a copy of the Old Testament scriptures. Very doubtful the value of something like that. That would be secured in the synagogue. You know what? He knew the scriptures. Folks, not only did he spend all of his sermon telling Bible stories, sometimes he, in this sermon, he's directly quoting Old Testament references. He has the scriptures memorized. He knows the stories. He knows the principles. He knows where he's going, and he just opens up and preaches the Bible. Now, folks, a man full of faith derives this faith from an intimate knowledge of the scriptures. Doesn't that make sense? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, folks, listen to me. Don't tell me that you're a man or a woman full of faith if you are not saturated by this book right here, if you do not spend your time meditating on it and reading it and studying it and seeking the wisdom that it contains, we ought to have Christians at Blessed Oak Baptist Church that are intimately familiar with the Scriptures, intimately familiar with the Scriptures. I won't embarrass her, but I got a letter. I call them the Epistles of Connie. Every once in a while, Connie, were she here tonight? Is Sister Connie here tonight? Oh, sorry about that. Every once in a while, she writes me a letter. Me and my wife, she always addresses it to me and Cheryl, and I always read it. Cheryl always reads it. But I call it the epistles of Connie. She's never written me a note. She's never written me a letter. She always writes a small novel, a small book of some kind, and about once every, I don't know, 6 months. But she, I won't embarrass her, but I read page after page, and you know what she was rejoicing in? She was saying, Brother Jerry, I cannot believe how much of the Bible I've learned just since I've been at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. She said, I can't believe, as I look back at my former life, how ignorant I was of the Scriptures, and since I've been here, what a grasp I have and what I've learned and what I've... Listen, you know why she's getting it? You know why she's getting it? Because she wants it. I could march up in front of you. I could march... Every preacher in the world could march up in front of congregation, people that sat there for years and years and years. And you know what? The Scriptures have had little or no effect in their life. You know why? Because there's not a burning hunger. I want to know. I want to... Too many people are walking in critiquing messages instead of letting the message critique you. Did you hear me? You're critiquing the message. You're going to score the message tonight instead of letting the message, God's Word, score your life. Do you want to know the Bible? Are you hungry to know the Bible? And listen, if you are, then you know what? It's not just a matter of coming and listening to preaching 3 times a week. It's a matter of getting into this book on a daily basis and reading it and begging the Holy Spirit of God to tutor you and teach you as you read it. And I'm telling you, folks, when you get into that frame of mind, things jump off the page that you've never seen before. Truths will grip your soul that you've never seen. I mean, come on. How many of you have been there? Sometimes you've read a story you've read 50 times, and all of a sudden part of that story becomes alive for the first time in your Christian life. And it energizes you, and it teaches you, and it touches your very soul. And you know what? You don't just are in contact with the Scripture for that few moments. You carry and meditate on that throughout the day. Something God showed you, something God taught you, and the Holy Spirit develops that with the other things that you've learned from the Scripture. Man alive, this isn't sleeping time. This isn't daydreaming time. This is preaching time. It's the preaching of the Bible. Man alive, don't miss what the Holy Spirit wants to teach you in every single service here at Blessed Oak Baptist Church. A man full of faith derives faith from an intimate knowledge of the Scripture. And you know what? As he more intimately knows the Scripture, it feeds his faith and grows his faith. The last thing I'll cover tonight, a man full of faith will stand against evil and speak the truth no matter the consequences. A man full of faith will stand against evil and speak the truth no matter the consequences. Now, you all know the end of the story here. He gets to quoting Scripture. He gets to talking about the Bible. He tells all kinds of Old Testament stories and makes, quotes Scripture. It's just Bible, 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 Bible. Then verse 51, chapter 7, he gets to the invitation. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, do ye always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And he, being, here it is again, full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast unto heaven and saw the glory of God, Jesus standing on the right hand of God, said, Behold, I see the heavens open. Notice the innocence. Do you notice the purity? He just telling people what he's seeing. There's no brag. I mean, this isn't him being braggadocious. He just says, Behold, I see the heavens open. The Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Notice that they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, ran upon him with one accord. Now, these are mean people, folks. They bit him already. He tells them what he sees, and now they run around with their hands over their ears, screaming at the top of their voice, so they don't have to hear any more of what is happening. They don't want to know the truth. They cried out with a loud voice and stopped there, ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city, stoned him, and witnesses laid their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not their sins to this charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe for one second. Look up here, and I'm going to tell you what I believe by what he said. I don't think in his dying moments he said to himself, "Boy, I sure regret being a man full of faith." I don't think he said for one minute, I regret serving God and leaving nothing out. I don't regret, you know what? I think that, this is what I'm going to tell you what I think, and I will tell you that this is Pastor Jerry's opinion. I think maybe the last thought that Stephen had was, "Wow, God's let me do so much for him. Now he's going to let me die for him. Praise the Lord. Oh, by the way, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Lord, don't put any evil against them." What a privilege. What an honor. You say, oh, what a wasted life. Are you crazy? A wasted life? No, a wasted life is a life that's held back from the Lord Jesus Christ. A wasted life is a life that never seeks the fullness of the Spirit. A wasted life is a life that ignores the wisdom of God. A wasted life is a life that's too proud to delight in humble service. A wasted life is a life that refuses to vocalize faith in the community. A wasted life is a life that carries a Bible but never reads a Bible. This man did not waste his life. You know what he said? He said, "I'm going to stand up and tell the truth." And you know what? People throw stones, they're going to throw stones. But you know what? They'll hear the truth while they're throwing stones. If I die for it, I die for it. But you know what? I'm going to die smiling up to heaven. Now, interesting. Isn't this interesting? Everywhere else in the Bible, it talks about how Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Everywhere else you read about Jesus' position, he's what? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. I don't mean, young people, he's sitting on the right hand. I mean, you know, it means he's at the right hand setting of the Father. But that's not what Stephen saw here. You know what? Here was a man that had served honorably and served valiantly. And you know what? I believe to honor Stephen and honor his sacrifice, the Lord Jesus stood up to welcome him as he came into glory. You see, Stephen's faith was rewarded at his death. He was received with honor into heaven, having fought a good fight, having finished the course, and having kept the what? Faith. Kept the faith. A man full of faith. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd inspire us. Lord, Stephen did not die in vain. We, of course, know that Saul, who was there that day, I don't think he ever got that image out of his mind. Here was a member of the way. Here was somebody that was spreading false religion, and yet that's not what Saul saw that day. Saul saw a man full of faith. Saul saw a man that could see into glory. I believe that the Holy Spirit in the upcoming years and months used that time after time. I don't believe the image ever left Saul until he fell off of his high horse on the road to Damascus and repented of his sin and received Christ as his Savior. But Lord, it's not just the Apostle Paul that Stephen inspired and that his life was used to move. All through the ages, preachers have preached and Christians have read this story. And in services like this, lives have been touched because there was a man who was willing to be a man full of faith. A man full of faith. God, we need for this church and where we're going, the direction we're going, what you need us to accomplish, we need men full of faith. We need women who are full of faith, not full of pride, not full of self, not full of sin, full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, full of wisdom, full of power. Dear God, may we seek such a relationship with you. May we learn from Stephen the steps that are necessary to make us a people full of faith. Use the invitation, Lord, according to your will. May we allow you to move in our presence now, we pray.